Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast with me, Robin, and Martin and Alex. It's the awesome threesome. We're here. We're all together.
What an intro.
And today we will be discussing real life cases that may prove reincarnation.
What?
Before we discuss that incredible piece of news, not exactly news, but historical cases, but we will be responding to your comments from the past couple of weeks on previous episodes, and we shall be answering, I guess, a riddle. But before I read out the riddle, fellas, how are you both? How you doing? Martin, it's been a while.
Yeah, no, good. No, it has been a little while. Pleased to be back in the house. In this house, not physically. Yes. I mean, that our home is in the podcast house,
of course.
But also, like, you have been out of the house searching for pirate treasure. How did it go?
Mixed results. I found some gold teeth, but unfortunately, they were stuck in the skull
mouth of a Jew
of someone. So it was very difficult to remove them. So that was tricky.
Was it a living or a dead person?
Oh, dead, of course. Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. Other than that, just some old willy boots, really, and that's about it.
You told us in confidence that you had some big news that you wanted to announce, and
big time.
You know, I'd like to open up the floor to you if you want to take this opportunity to, you know, officially share your news, and we are fully supportive of, you know,
everything.
Yeah. So you go ahead, Martin. The floor is yours.
The news is that me and Alex are officially a couple, aren't we, Alex?
What? yeah, sorry, Robin. This is how we're doing.
Big time. I'm flabbergasted. I feel, obviously, I'm happy for you both, but I feel slightly betrayed. They say for every new partner you acquire, you lose a friend. So how do I feel right now? I don't know.
How do you feel, Alex?
Thanks, Robin. I was hoping that you'd be a bit more supportive. Wow. How you would celebrate? Is that what you would say if this was true?
You asked me how I felt. Wow. You didn't ask me how I felt about you, just how I felt about me. No, I'm very happy for you both. I'm thrilled. I'm surprised Alex didn't know.
I know.
Last week.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
It's news to me.
He didn't know. Yeah. It was news to him. He just wanted me to say it, of course.
I thought it was a dream. I thought, exactly. A dream. I didn't think. Couldn't believe it.
A really vivid dream where Martin came into my room at night and we had a wonderful, wonderful time.
Oh, my gosh.
That's gonna be a rumor mill speculation now on all these, like, pop buzz websites, right?
Yeah, and our massive fan base. We drive the gossip columns. We're known for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hello Magazine will be in touch, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Heat. That's okay. Another one.
I can see the two of you, actually. Your cover with your tiger skin rug by the fireside of your big country mansion. It says your announcement photo shoot.
Beautiful.
Oh, lovely. And I look forward to learning what your families feel about this. Exciting news. Very exciting news. But let's move on from that. Indeed. And would you like to hear a riddle?
Go on, then.
Smooth.
This whole start of the podcast has been a riddle for me so far. But yes, no, I'd love to.
So, what can you break even if you never pick it up or touch it? What can you break even if you never pick it up or touch it?
Probably quite a few things.
I've got something in mind.
Oh, yeah? Do you want to reveal it now or save it till the end when I reveal
it? I'll save it to the end.
Okay. Well, all right then. Stay tuned till the end of the episode to hear the solution to that riddle. So before we get onto the big, big, big topic about cases that might prove reincarnation, gentlemen, any comments you'd like to respond to from previous episodes of the podcast? Martin, you weren't here for all of them, so you might not have seen many comments.
No, a lot of these are out of context, but some of them are great, but out of context, so I don't really know exactly what's going on. Although there is a comment from Microtech who says, Martin is actually hanging around with Somali pirates, so... Yeah,
I think we said that you were off getting pirate treasure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I see.
Microtech might be thinking that you're off actually doing some modern day piracy.
Which
is less fun. Yeah. Less fun piracy. Yeah.
There's, I mean, you've asked, these are some of my favorite comments as well. The ones where you ask people what they do when they're listening. That's always, always interesting.
Yeah, out of context is, yeah, great.
Always good. Always good. Morning cycle to work. Dangerous. I like it. Living life on the edge, James Linton.
Yeah, James Linton 17 said that.
Slightly safer from Indinisbet. Is that right? Mm. Indinisbet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listen from Canada and always when I'm crotcheting large projects, which seems much safer, I've got to be honest. It does seem safe.
That's lovely.
Mm.
Yeah. That's that's really nice. It's nice to hear what people do when they're listening to the podcast. What I also like is there seems to be a running theme of people using this podcast to fall asleep too. Mm. And I it's kind of, as I've always said, like a bit of a backhanded compliment, but I find it so nice to think that we're helping people drift off.
I mean, I do that with other podcasts too, actually. So, yeah. But the thing is, it's good, Alex. It's a great thing because people then listen to it and they get like a third of the way through. And they're like, oh, I don't know where I was because the episode's finished on my phone or whatever. Mm. And so they listen, hopefully again.
Yes. What percentage of our views are people re-listening to what they missed when they fell asleep?
Exactly.
Sam Mainman 9464 says, greetings from Algeria, North Africa.
Oh, wow.
I watch at night laying in bed. I usually sleep after the show. So there's just one nice example, and that's really nice. I really like that.
That is nice. The thought of that. Yeah.
Mm. Like the thought of you sleeping in your bed.
If you have a vivid dream of Martin coming into your room and making sweet, sweet love to you, it could be real.
If you're listening now, Sam Mainman, I hope you have a lovely sleep. I hope you have a lovely night's sleep.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Weird.
That is so nice. I said, as soon as I said it, I was like, God, that's weird. That's a weird thing to say.
Anyway, I think I can definitely imagine falling asleep listening to us in the nicest way possible, of course. Well, I've got a comment from the last episode, which is about films that predicted the future, from Camera Shy Coco, who says, so in it we brought up a film that predicted reality TV, Truman Show, that was it.
Oh, great. And
then we asked, what was the first reality TV show? And Camera Shy Coco says, so I'm really unfamiliar with reality TV because I've hated it from the very moment it came into existence. I think reality TV is why there's a huge lack of empathy in the world. Regardless, according to my maths, which is sketchy, The Real World on MTV came before Big Brother.
Yeah. Of course.
I've honestly not heard of that show. Not very knowledgeable when it comes to MTV. Is that early noughties, late 90s? Is that?
I've heard of The Real World. I think it might be even earlier than that. But it's one of those ones that I've heard of. But like you say, I have absolutely no idea.
Mm. I'd be surprised if it was on over here. Did we have MTV in this country?
Oh, yeah, we have MTV. Oh, we did?
I don't know.
What was on, like Sky or something?
It was on Sky, and yeah. I think it's on the Freeview channels now.
Cool.
It's an American reality TV series.
And therefore infinitely better than anything the UK can provide. For one thing, they have a real building.
Yes.
Unlike Big Brother, which is just a shack. Wooden shack with no central heating.
There we go.
Extreme Big Brother. Dear Three. The contestants have eaten each other. They don't seem to realize there's a permanent buffet at the side.
I've never actually watched Big Brother all the way, like an episode all the way through, but the clip of David's dead.
David's dead, yeah.
So good. If anyone doesn't know that context and hasn't seen it, just type in Big Brother, David's dead. It's quite incredible.
He's not dead. He's just having a nap.
Why would you do this? Not that, David. Yeah, it's so good.
Well, before we move on to the main topic, and whilst we're responding to comments, I'd like to say a big, big thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and our YouTube members, who are wonderful people keeping us going. And especially, I'd like to say thank you to Captain Wonky and James, Rashad Najjar, Caleb Wilkerson, Kurt Jones, John Baker, Janie, Henny Ruffle, The Super Show Podcast, Nicholas Dill, Emmett Apia, Tapia.
You should know
Ahmad.
By
that. I don't know by now. That's the problem. Pease Ward, Josh Chomatek, A Filthy Casual, and Simon Workman. Thank you all so much. Obviously, we're really grateful to everybody who gives anything to support us on Patreon or YouTube, and everybody who gives anything as little as a dollar or as much as our most generous supporters can get access to A Little More Interesting, which is our weekly little kind of extra episode, as well as some behind the scenes tidbits and some extra things that we do, and our Discord server. And you'll probably get priority notification as well to our very, very, very occasional and irregular gaming live streams on Twitch, which happen when they happen. we should try to do them more often. Thank you to everyone for supporting us. We really, 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 really appreciate it. And now, fellas, let's talk about reincarnation. Real life cases that may prove reincarnation. So for those of you who don't know, reincarnation is the belief that a person be reborn into the body, I guess, of another person. Now, depending on which religion or philosophy you subscribe to, you may believe that you are exclusively reincarnated into other people, or you might believe that you're reincarnated into other animals, and eventually you might come round to being into another person as well. But these are people... Just three examples of cases where people have claimed to be the reincarnations of somebody else. But these particular examples are interesting because they may be more credible than your typical, I was Napoleon, I was Genghis Khan, I was, you know, John Wayne playing Genghis Khan. We don't, a lot of time people claim to be reincarnated and they're always the most interesting people
Someone
in history.
Very important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course.
So these examples might be a little bit more compelling. But I don't know actually what you two have gone for. So let's go alphabetically, shall we? Alex, which example have you got?
I was just kind of curious, whilst, like, before we delve into these examples, what's both of your thoughts on reincarnation? what do you think about it as an idea? I kind of like it.
I like the idea.
I don't know if I fully believe it, but I like it.
I mean, we're going to be butchering a whole lot of people's religious beliefs here. Isn't it the whole thing of, like, if you're good in your life, you come back as something, you know, you come back as something better. Buddhism is a reaching nirvana, right? Ultimately, is that something
like that? Karma is what you're thinking of, isn't it? The concept of you build up karma.
Which
determines whether you get a good reincarnation or not, or something.
But there is the final goal is to break out of the cycle, isn't it?
Reach nirvana ultimately, right?
I think that's right. Yeah.
And so that means that you can come back as something worse, right? You come back as a worse creature or animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it does kind of push you into a corner of being a decent person, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, you've got to be a good, decent human being. Otherwise, you could risk coming back as a cockroach. But yeah, no, the concept of being reborn infinitely is, yeah, I think it's an appealing one, isn't it? Certainly an appealing one. But it is true that most people that believe they're reincarnated have been a king or a queen. No one comes back as, oh yeah, I was a pauper who died at the age of 14, you know? So
leprosy or something. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone's Henry VIII. So, you've got to be a little bit skeptical, just because of that. But I'm interested to hear about these stories for sure, and learn about, in many cases, what seems like it has to be more than just a coincidence. Surely.
Well. On that note, I'll talk about my case. So I wanted to talk about a young man or a young boy called James Leninger, who is probably one of the most well-documented and intriguing cases of a young child who remembers his past life. And I say it's well documented. I think this has been in several news stories. They've actually written a book about this, or his dad's written a book about his experiences, which you may see actually as a possible issue with the story.
Yeah,
thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But just to set the scene, James Leninger was born in 1998 in San Francisco, California. And around the age of 2, he began exhibiting unusual behaviors and having recurring nightmares. He would often scream, "Airplane crash on fire, little man can't get out," while clutching his chest.
That's not terrifying.
And basically, he believed that, they believed that he was the reincarnation of a World War II fighter pilot. And James had said that he was a man called James Huston Jr. And he was that specific, apparently. He said, "I'm James Huston Jr." And he insisted that his plane had been shot down by the Japanese and he'd crashed into the sea. And he even apparently provided the name of the aircraft that he was flying on as a World War II fighter pilot called the Natoma, and said it had taken off from a ship called the Natoma Bay.
Right.
This is all very specific information he has apparently provided completely unprompted.
Yeah.
How now, obviously, that's difficult to know how unprompted he's providing that information.
Yeah.
But if that's true, wow. And maybe unsurprisingly, you'll know that after some research from the parents and outside researchers, they investigated this James Huston Jr., the pilot that James Leninger claimed to have been, and they discovered he was indeed a World War II fighter pilot who died in action. His aircraft was an F-6F Hellcat, and it had crashed into the sea. And he was apparently stationed on the USS Natoma Bay, as James Leninger had described. James's parents and researchers had even managed to locate and interview surviving members of this ship, the USS Natoma Bay.
Okay.
And they confirmed that James M. Huston Jr. was on the ship and provided details of the crash. So James had provided numerous accurate details about James Huston Jr.'s life, including the fact that he had a sister called Anne, and he had been shot down near Iwo Jima, and that he flew Corsair planes before transitioning to Hellcats, which were historically accurate. He's got a lot of specific information here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And apparently from the age of 2, he was just like really interested in aviation and planes, right from the get-go. So yeah, interesting. And this all apparently started with recurring nightmares when he was 2 years old.
Yeah. Well, when did this happen? When, you know, when was he 2?
So it was around the year 2000, I believe.
Right.
So he was born in 1998. So around the year 2000. Yeah. Why, what are you thinking? Any connection to the year or?
No, I was trying to just think about how easy it would have been to get hold of that information. If it's a hoax.
Oh, at the time. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's what I think.
Or if there was any kind of family connection there. But I don't think there is.
Yeah. Mm. That's really interesting. Because that's... So the first thing that comes to mind is, assuming it, if it is a genuine case, is it weird to have recurring nightmares of the death? Is that really how reincarnation would work? Wouldn't you...
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
You know, what
people,
what,
I mean,
there's also
people say, like, in dreams, you can access unconscious thoughts that you or repressed thoughts. So, if the idea is that your soul has transferred from one person to a new body, then maybe dreams could be the answer to unlocking your past memories. Really kind of, because I don't know if I believe in these stories. But I'm really trying to.
No, I appreciate it. I think that's it. I'm kind of I think I'm struggling to not knowing enough about reincarnation and the rules, as they, as it were. I don't know.
What are the rules?
I don't know.
I don't think you need to know the rules. No one would know the official rules. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is the only thing that you need to know is the idea that has someone else's soul been trouble? Has someone's soul gone on to a new body? I guess is this the only thing you need to know? I think issues of like karma and dharma and all of that. I don't know. Mm. I don't know if that really applies. If reincarnation does exist, then it may not necessarily be the exact way that certain religions have prescribed them to be.
Yeah, you shock me, Alex. You shock me that might be the case.
Yes. Yeah. That's interesting. I always find it more interesting when they're coming back or believing they're coming back as someone who's not particularly famous, or there's not the ability to make the link based on, you know, media that they consumed or knowledge that their parents have. Because often, as you'll see with my case too, it's a child. And but I can move on to it if you want me to. I can dive into it. Would that be, if you have more to say, Alex?
Well, I was just going to say that according to his parents, Bruce and Andrea said that, you know, at the time, he wasn't watching World War II documentaries or anything. He only watched kids' shows. He was really interested. He had a toy plane and he was really interested in planes, but there was no real kind of like discussion about World War II. My only kind of thoughts and reservations towards this, I'm not saying like they deliberately would have faked it, but I feel like maybe when they're talking to him, maybe they were accidentally using leading questions or something. Like, do you know what, yeah. do you know what I mean? Like, once the idea is in their head, maybe he's remembering a past life. Like, if he's having this dream of a plane crash, maybe they're like, where were you? Were you in the Pacific? And he's like, yes. And he's like, oh my gosh, were you a World War II fighter? And he's just like, yes.
It's the worst game of 20 questions ever.
Yeah.
Were you also called James? Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. And then they look up like name. Were you James Jr., James Earl Jones, James Huston? And then he's like, yes, James Huston. Yeah. Yep, James Huston. Do you know what I mean?
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe there's just a kind of like lead through leading questions they got there, possibly.
Yeah, and they're repeating back false memories as opposed to actual memories. Potential,
But it's difficult, isn't it, when you've only really, you don't really get that insight into how these memories started. The only insight you get are from people who may have influenced it to begin with, like his parents and him. When official researchers get to it, those memories are already cemented, whether they're like false memories or not.
That's the problem with these cases, like particularly with a child. Yeah, you just can't, unless you have an objective outside independent party observing it from before it actually starts, you can never quite sure what happened.
Yeah,
where the child is getting this information from. Fascinating, though.
I mean, mine's not too dissimilar, so I won't spend tons of time on the details because it is quite similar. But mine's about a boy called Ryan Hammonds, who was 4 years old when he started basically recounting a previous life to his parents. This is in 2009, and he started talking as a young child about going back home to Hollywood. And as a kid, he would play with friends and he would pretend to be a director, shouting action. And he would play he would recreate these scenes from a cowboy movie that he'd never actually seen himself. He said that, you know, the cafes that he went to reminded him of Paris. But he'd never been to Paris, which isn't crazy. Okay. You know, he's a kid, right? He talked about his job at an agency as well. And so his mum was a little bit kind of like, okay, this is a bit strange, but he could just be playing kind of pretend. He had a vivid imagination as a child. But then he started having nightmares. And similarly to what you said, Alex. He started clutching his chest. This is like a common theme.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
And saying that he couldn't breathe and that his heart had exploded in Hollywood. But his family weren't from Hollywood, nor did they really talk about Hollywood much. They were from Oklahoma. So it seemed really, really, really weird that this was happening. And so his mum did some research into it. And when she looked through photos with Ryan, she found one from a movie in the 30s called Night After Night. And little Ryan said, "Hold on a second, I know that. That's my friend, George." And so his mum did some research and found out that it was this person called George Raft, who was an actor and a dancer, who was in these gangster films in the 1930s. Uh-huh. And eventually from this, Ryan identified that he himself was a man by the name of Marty Martin. Great name. Great name. So good they named him to
Martin. Marty Martin.
Marty Martin. That's name. Marty Martin. Yeah.
Yeah, Marty Martin. Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like the fake name that you came up with, Martin.
I know.
You were underage trying to buy alcohol in a corner shop. Yeah, my name's Marty Martin, birthday 1963.
Exactly. And so little Ryan was convinced that he was Marty Martin. You know, he'd seen this guy, he'd seen pictures of him himself, and he recognized himself in this past life. Wow. And so Marty Martin had worked in Hollywood and had a career dancing on Broadway, and then had also traveled to Paris to work as well.
Oh,
so there's that connection with Paris. And so they managed to locate Marty Martin. Marty Martin actually had died of a gunshot wound. He'd been shot. And actually, I'll come on to this in a second. But that might be kind of the reason for this pain that he, you know, had these nightmares about. So they found Marty Martin's, some of his living relatives, and he identified some of them accurately and provided details about their lives, which, you know, these are normal people. They're not celebrities. They're not written down in books or on TV. And he managed to identify some of their personal details just from
meeting. Did you say that meeting Marty Martin was like, when did you say he would lived?
In the 1930s?
30s, yeah. So who are these like living relatives? Like,
I imagine like they must be
old people.
Yeah, they must be. Yeah, it must be grandchildren, I imagine. Or great grandchildren. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so Ryan's convinced that he's Marty Martin in another life. And one of the things that convinces him of this is a birthmark that he has. And that he claims his birthmark on his head, and Marty Martin was shot in the head. So he claims actually this is a bit of evidence here that actually, you know, this birthmark is from a previous life where he died in tragic circumstances.
Less of a birthmark, more of a
death mark. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And they say that, don't they? Like in some cultures, like, birthmarks are quite significant, and yeah, they normally reflect like how you died in your previous life.
You know, definitely worth noting is that Ryan's parents weren't, well, according to you know, most accounts, weren't encouraging him to go down this line of questioning. They were skeptical of it. But then as he started to verify these details about Marty Martin and also his family members, they started to come around to the fact that actually, you know, he might be reincarnated from another life. Ryan was emotionally connected to those within his previous life, and he spoken extensively about missing these family members and wanting to reunite with them as well. And so there's that emotional aspect as well. So even if Ryan's not actually reincarnated,
yeah,
emotional impact of this has been quite heavy on his life, believing that he is Marty Martin in a previous life. So of course people are going to be skeptical and say that, you know, children like him from a very young age, and he was only 4 years old when he started having these nightmares, they're impressionable, right? Children can be told anything, and like you say, Alex, with the leading question element, is certainly worth bearing in mind. But he's still convinced, is Ryan, that he is Marty Martin, and that his family members from a previous life are out there. So yeah,
plus also, like, wow. I could see the kind of connection with the previous one that we spoke about, like how with through leading questions they would get to, like, okay, a World War II fighter pilot, if he's specifically having dreams about a plane crashing, I don't know, and he's like interested in planes. But that's so kind of specific and niche, and very kind of like, how would they even get there through leading questions?
Yes, it's the pointing out the friend George that really got me.
Yes,
that's really interesting. Yeah.
No, it is quite amazing.
I wonder. So in the UK, I don't know if other countries are doing this, they're contemplating introducing laws, at least in some parts of it, to allow people to self-identify without any kind of onerous legal procedure. Could you do that to change your identity if you think you're reincarnated?
What, to the previous name?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but also, if you're a gen, if you say he's a boy, but what if he were a girl? And he's like, I'm actually this man, Marty Martin. That's who I am. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like Ryan believes it, heart and soul. Yeah.
Mm.
Interesting. How would they go through life?
I mean, he could legally change his name.
He could do that. Yeah. But but if he happened to be a girl and thought and felt that they were the reincarnation of a man, that would be quite unfortunate for them.
Yeah.
Going through
true.
Yeah. Then they would just be transgender. And right? Like, it wouldn't be any different than...
Well, there's no need to treat them differently, but would they feel different? Because they wouldn't necessarily...
Saying they wouldn't associate with that? I don't know. I guess there would be another,
because transgender people don't believe that they're reincarnated. Like, it's not just that they're saying, I am me, but I am not the gender you have assigned to me at birth. That's how transgender people typically feel, I believe. This is a case of, what if somebody's saying, I am not me, I am literally this other person.
Yes, yeah.
That's interesting. I wonder psychologically how that... Their heads around that, because I guess that's the case. Like, what you're saying? Like, there's no procedure that they could do to make themselves feel more like themselves.
I can't,
if they literally feel like a different person.
Yes.
So you can change your name, but what if for Ryan that works out because they're also male? But what if if they're
interesting?
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to distract away from the story. I just I hadn't thought about that point until you mentioned. Ryan seems to be really like convinced, which is interesting. Fascinating.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. That's quite a compelling story, and he still maintains it to this day.
He does, yeah, he sure does.
Does he ask that people call him Marty?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think so.
Call him Ryan, but he's not actually. Yeah, okay.
How about yourself, Robin? What story have you got?
Well, my story doesn't involve a child, although it did start in adolescence. It involves a man, a grown man, called Captain James Arthur Flowerdew, who, when he was a teenager, started having vivid visions of a city carved out of a cliff face. And as he got older, these visions got clearer and much more vivid in his mind. And he didn't think much of it he didn't bother to do much about it, I should say, until 1979. He was born in 1906. And in 1979, at the age of 73, he finally saw a documentary on the BBC about Petra in Jordan.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the iconic kind of temple carved into the cliff face. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he saw it, he contacted the BBC and said, "Hey, I've been having these visions all my life, getting clearer and clearer as I get older, of Petra in Jordan. But I'd never seen any footage, any pictures, or read a book about it before this documentary on the BBC." And the BBC was so intrigued, they actually aired a little segment about him. They interviewed him on the segment of one of their programs. And this program on the BBC got aired worldwide, and the Jordanian government saw it, and they were so intrigued that they invited Arthur Flowerdew to Jordan, to Petra, to have a look. Wow. So he went there and met the archaeologists, and he'd never been there before, and he claimed that he'd never read anything about it or seen any pictures of it before this documentary, and there was some archaeological work going on. And now here is where a lot of the information actually comes from, a book about reincarnation by someone called Sogyal Rinpoche, or Rinpoche. So this is where the independent information might get a bit murky. But the archaeologists met with Flowerdew, and, you know, out of curiosity, and because the Jordanian government said they ought to, and they took him on a tour of the site. And apparently he was able to not only describe to them in correct detail aspects of the site before they arrived there, but when they got there, he was able to take them to places where they hadn't excavated yet and said, "Oh, there's a building here, there's a building here." And when they dug, they found things. And he identified a small building where he said, "Oh, I was a guard there." And he said, I was murdered here on this spot. I was a guard here and I was murdered." And he identified the building, and the archaeologists apparently agree that, yeah, that's a guardhouse. That's a little station for a guard in front of this more important place. And the archaeologist was so taken with him, apparently, in the book I just mentioned by Rinpoche, one of the archaeologists is quoted as saying, "He's filled in details, and a lot of it is very consistent with known archaeological and historical facts, and it would require a mind very different from his to be able to sustain a fabric of deception on the scale of his memories, at least the ones he's reported to me. I don't think he's a fraud. I don't think he has the capacity to be a fraud on this scale."
Wow. Interesting. Yeah.
So, and he died at the age of 95 in 2002.
Okay, wow.
And maintained to the end of his life that he was, yeah.
It's an interesting running theme with all three of our stories, and that's that the lives that they left behind were all died in horrific circumstances.
That's interesting.
Died in a plane crash, being shot, and being murdered in some variety.
Yeah, stabbed, I assume. That, yeah.
Do you think the kind of, like, if your life has been cut short, then that influences, like, the soul is kind of not yet done or something?
Yeah.
And so the memory is, like, carries on to the next life.
Maybe that's
an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one really has a past life memories when they've died comfortably, you know, in their
sleep. Away. Yeah.
No, true.
The trauma of the death means that they remember it, and then that triggers more memories after the fact, perhaps. Yeah.
So it is an interesting trend. Yeah, for sure. I mean, also makes the person more, potentially more identifiable, right?
Potentially. not in Flowerdew's case, sadly. A guard in Petra about 2,000 years ago when it was inhabited.
Yeah, true.
Probably, yeah. Sadly, not very. I don't know. I didn't find any information on a name. He doesn't seem to have given himself a name. But his memories of the city were probably spot on. And
wow.
Do
you believe him?
So yes and no. I want to believe him. I want to believe him. But the problem is that this is something that he didn't become public knowledge until he raised it with the BBC when he was 73 years old.
Mm.
So I've got, there's two obvious explanations, which don't, either he's lying or he has done a lot of research on Petra,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even been there himself as a British Army officer, could have been stationed in Jordan at some point in the first half of the 20th century when Britain was out there. And at the age of 73, he could have had a stroke, could have bumped his head, could have been a bit, you know, developing some dementia or something that meant that he forgot that he actually knew about it. And when he saw this documentary, it was like all these memories came flooding back.
That's a good point.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Mm. Yeah. Well, would no one in his life be able to confirm that or something?
Well,
like?
No. So here's the mystery. And this is where I'm speculating. There's no mention of him having any kind of medical history that would support that theory.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm speculating wildly there, but he seems to have been unmarried, as in a widowed at that point. So there's no family able to corroborate whether or not he had any kind of medical history that might explain why he forgot that he knew these things. But that's the obvious explanation to me, but only because he's 73. Like, if he were a much younger person, then I would absolutely be more compelled to believe it, because I think, how on earth would you know this stuff?
It's a good point.
It's creepy when you hear these stories and it's like a young child that says something that they doesn't. How the hell do you know that? You
know? Yeah.
There's almost no other explanation. But yeah, I guess 70-year-old.
There's potential. There's a few two different variants for either making it up or, as you say, a medical issue has caused him to forget. Interesting.
Mm.
Interesting.
But, that's my speculation. So do you both have doubts, or do you think it could be a thing?
Yeah, I think it's natural to be skeptical, isn't it? Mm. It's natural, but at the same time.
They're interesting stories because I also, I don't know if I'd say that someone's lying. I don't know why someone would lie.
No.
I think maybe someone could be misunderstood or they've misattributed something. Maybe he is having these recurring dreams of this place, but maybe it's not actually Petra Jordan. Maybe it's just some other thing that his mind has conjured up. I don't know. I don't know why anyone would really lie about this. But then, having said that, going back to my story, the parents kind of have a motivation to lie if they're going to then write a book about it. And,
well, that's it. It's something to do, isn't it? Notoriety. Something to do.
It's just, something to do.
Just
bored.
Just so bored.
Just bored.
Quite possibly.
I don't know. Of the three cases, I think
Ryan's is interesting.
Yeah, it seems to be the most compelling. And then maybe followed by yours, Alex. Maybe tied with mine.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd say tied at the very least. I'm definitely intrigued by yours. And it's interesting how the BBC was so interested and was actually invited out to Petra to have a walk around. And
I think with children, it's tough because it's definitely two sides to it. There's the, you know, how would they know these details? They haven't lived a life, and where would they get these details from? But then the flip side is they're children. They are impressionable and people could convince them of things that could be leading questions, as you said, Alex. Like, that's what's so interesting about the child cases. It's like they're untarnished, but unblemished, no reason to lie, but they could definitely be influenced.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Ah, so tough. It's one of those, it's a classic case. You just can't prove reincarnation. So you just can't, it's all about whether you want to believe, I guess, really, ultimately. Yeah. So please do tell us what you think. If you've made it to the end of this episode, please do share your thoughts either in the comments below on YouTube or by sending us a message on Twitter, X, at JInterestingYT. I'm at All Time Robin.
At Mart Interesting.
And I'm at Just Alexing.
Well, thank you, fellas, for sharing your stories. Those are fascinating. I love this. This is a good topic. Thanks for suggesting it. Do you want to know the answer to the riddle?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, you do. Look here. So just as a reminder.
Yeah, no, sorry, go for it. Yeah, I was trying to remember what it was.
Yeah. So the question was, what can you break even if you never pick it up or touch it?
Yeah, I think we both had something in mind, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're probably both thinking the same thing. I imagine.
Shall I count you down? You can say it.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, I don't think we do.
Oh, you don't think?
Oh, maybe not. Okay.
Mine's kind of like, I'm thinking, I don't know. So I say what I had in mind.
Yeah.
I had a glass in mind.
Oh, okay.
Because an opera singer, shatter glass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I see.
Mine was heart.
A heart.
Heart.
Oh.
You break it without.
Yeah.
Without touch.
The metaphor, break someone's heart out.
Yeah. What was the specific wording on the riddle?
If you never pick it up or touch it. So I think there's a limitation here in the wording of the riddle. It should have been phrased perhaps a little bit more accurately, specifically, because the answer that I've got written down is a promise.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
But actually, a heart would also work.
Technically, if you're going by the metaphor of being able to break a heart, you can then touch someone's heart too, right?
You can. That's true. Alex, I was afraid one of you would come up with some actual thing you could break without. Without throwing anything at it, and glasses with sonic vibrations can break glass. So yeah, well, that was a great riddle.
Which answer was your favorite?
Vote in the comments below. And as always, thank you for supporting us, to all of our Patreon members and YouTube members, and thank you for listening. Thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have your company whilst we talk about these interesting things.
Indeed.
And we'll see you, indeed, I guess, yes, next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye for now.